May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with each of you. Amen. Beneath the chancel windows in St. Paul's Church, where I serve, you will find the symbols of the 12 apostles. That's not an unusual thing. Our churches are filled with symbols, symbols of those who have gone before us and symbols of our faith and salvation. But what always interested me about these particular symbols is how they are pictured, that is, the 12. As I look at those symbols, I see a sword, a club, a knife, a saw. And what is so impressive is that in 9 out of the 12 apostles pictured there, their symbols include the weapons of their death, their martyrdom. As we move this week toward the close of the church year, our thoughts are always directed toward heaven, toward that life that God holds out for us with Him forever. But God has also promised that while we are here on earth, He is present. He is among us. He blesses us. And in today's reading, as we hear about suffering and persecution for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we also see that in the midst of suffering, in the midst of death, there emerges a life, that life with God. May this word from God today be our strength and our song. It is very true that the word presents an entirely different perspective on this whole matter of suffering. In the world, suffering is considered to be bad and evil, something that is to be avoided at all costs. Those who are ill, for example, their suffering is alleviated by medication. Some are moving toward the concept of assisted suicide as a way of relieving the suffering, they say, of those who are terminally ill, as if life were in the hands of man and not God. But the Word of God for today shows us that suffering for Christ is possible only for those who bear His name, and that this suffering is sure to come even to us today. When we suffer because of our faith in Christ, St. Peter tells us that this is a blessing, and it's even a cause for rejoicing, as God Himself completely reverses the ways and thinking of the world and helps us to see that suffering for the name of Christ, suffering because of our faith, is even a blessing. Listen to the text. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Suffering for the name of Christ is proof that we are His sons and daughters, that we belong to Him. Of course, in our day, I've always wondered how we apply these words. After all, we live in a culture and a society that at least outwardly seems somewhat friendly toward the Christian church. Our churches sit on tax-free property. Our churches purchase goods without paying the tax. Is that not an indication of a friendliness toward the church? We know that the early Christians suffered. We know that Peter was talking about a painful situation in the text. But when we look at our lives and we ask, well, a Hebrew class, that's not suffering. Or a voters' assembly, that's not suffering, although sometimes it may seem that way. But yet, when we look at what's happening in the world today and how the culture in which we live seems to be moving further and further away from God, we live in a time of massive change in the cultural conditions that surround us. Not only in fad and fashion, not only in the extreme violence that we see today, but also in people's view of the church and the ministry. Doctrines are disputed. Things that we simply believed years ago are called into question. Clergy don't have the trust of the people like they used to have. We live in a world where Satan is working very hard to steer people away from God. And God calls us as pastors to continue to preach and teach faithfully the word of the Lord. God is calling us to administer his sacraments to a world that is in desperate need for the life of God. God is calling us to be his people, even though the world around us is sinking further and further into sin. In our day, Satan will use whatever method or means is at his disposal in order to steer us away from God. That's why the gospel is so important. That's why it's so important that we proclaim this clear word of God of forgiveness and life in the crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ. To do that faithfully, to do that day after day in spite of hindrances and obstacles that may be against us, that is the pastor's task. And so we always recognize that we need the strength of God. We need that same word of God that we preach. It must come to our hearts and lives in order to make us strong in the Lord. It may not be popular to preach that every day the old Adam in us must be killed so that the new person can emerge. But God tells us that he is with us. He is present in our lives, present in our ministry, present in all that we do, so that this word of the Lord can boldly be proclaimed in the midst of a dark and gloomy world because of sin. And even as we see the world around us dying, even as we experience the insults and curses that St. Peter talks about, yet the task is clear. It always has been, and it certainly will be for the future, to proclaim that precious word of life that we have in Jesus Christ. We proclaim him whose name we bear, whose word we preach. And finally, in the words of one of our hymns, number 379, "Come Follow Me, Says Christ the Lord," we have these words: "Then let us follow Christ our Lord, and take the cross appointed, and firmly clinging to his word, in suffering be undaunted. For those who bear the battle strain, the crown of heavenly life obtain." It is that crown of life that God holds out for his people. It is that crown of life that we proclaim and in which we take much comfort and strength. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ our Lord. Amen.